the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Gangadhar Shastri. He is a familiar figure to most of the frequent visitors to Prashanthi Nilayam as he joined as the first staff member in Swami's College in Prashanthi Nilayam as a lecturer in political sciences in 1979. Later, he even went on to become the assistant director of the Prashanthi Nilayam campus for a few years. So he has been serving Bhagwan's mission for more than 30 years as of today and continues to do so with gusto. And for today, his topic is Rights and Duties. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 7th of December 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners, for after the talk, you will be treated to some wonderful music from the album Saishwari by Imran. And at 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesa Jhari. So over to Professor Gangadhar Shastri.
Pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Sai Ram to you all. Today, I thought that I would share some of Bhagavan's thoughts on a very important topic called rights and duties. I gave the title Rights and Duties because long ago, when Bhagavan started a degree college here, in the year 1979, he also started a junior college. Sri Satya Sai Junior College was also started, which Bhagavan wound up after 1 or 2 years for reasons better known to him. He wound up the junior college and he got it upgraded into Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. There was a junior college before this higher secondary school came into existence. And as a lecturer in political science, selected by Bhagavan himself and teaching political science at degree level in Sri Satya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College, I was also asked to teach civics to the intermediate students when it was a junior college. And I was teaching civics to the intermediate students and political science to the degree college students. Classes were conducted actually in the Ishwarama High School first floor because there were no buildings at all in Puttaparthi at that time except Bhagavan's ashram, Ishwarama High School, and a bus stand which was in a dilapidated condition in those days. It was not to be considered as a bus stand at all. It was all a rugged place. Bhagavan, being an extraordinarily disciplined person and a disciplinarian, he wanted to know how his teachers were teaching and how his students were learning. So he used to visit the college all of a sudden without any notice. So everybody was to be on the toes all the time, not knowing when Swami would come. And when Swami comes, all the teachers were supposed to be in the classrooms teaching students and no student or teacher to be found in the corridors. If anybody was found, that was going to be a D-day for him. He never tolerated any indiscipline. Any insignificant part of discipline is also never allowed by Swami because he was a perfectionist. And he wanted that perfection to be cultivated by all of us. And he always said that whatever he does, whatever he spoke, was to be taken as guidance to all of us. the way he spoke, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he conducted himself with his teachers, students, devotees. He wanted us all to observe his behavior all the time. And he said that in the human form, I conducted to a large extent at human level only. At divine level, anyhow, it is tough for us to understand. At least try to understand me at human level and try to understand and utilize this as guidance to all of you. The way he gave darshan, when he was giving darshan, the way he walked was described as Swami almost gliding. It was not understood as walking. It was a special type of walk. And he said that better you watch and learn to walk like that in a very comfortable position. And interacting with people, how you interact and everything was a part of the scheme, a divine scheme through which he wanted to teach us. One day as I was teaching to the intermediate students, suddenly Bhagavan Baba landed up in front of the classroom. When I looked towards the door, he was standing there, all of a sudden. I was shocked. Then I looked at Swami, and I did not much understand Swami in those days, because I came with a blank mind to Swami without either knowing him or knowing Prashanta Nilayam. Accidentally landed up here as a teacher, being brought by him probably. So when I saw him, in a very casual fashion, I said, Swami, come in and take your seat. And Swami looked at me and said, don't bother about my seat. Continue to teach. I want to listen to what you are going to teach. On that day, I was talking to the students on rights and duties, which is a part of the civics course. And I completed. Swami was there for about 15 to 20 minutes, standing near the door only and watching what I was teaching. After 20 minutes before taking leave, he called me and said, along with what you teach them from your Constitution of India or from your political science, rights and duties, teach them also about the spiritual import of rights and duties. I myself did not much understand what is the spiritual import of rights and duties. So how could I really fulfill the command of Bhagavan Baba? I thought for a while, without knowing that he was going to train me. Henceforth, Bhagavan Baba was giving discourses almost on a daily basis. Ever since 79, when he started college, students and staff were there to listen to Bhagavan Baba directly almost every day on a rich variety of topics. There is no topic under the sun on which Bhagavan Baba did not speak. He spoke about economics, politics, sociology, psychology, philosophy, science, environment, cosmos, spirituality. Everything he covered, and he gave sometimes very tough lectures for us to understand, because he chose a topic and he said, from today you will listen to me speaking on Bhagavad Gita for the coming 15-20 days. So every day evening at 4 o'clock he starts and goes on for 1.5 hours giving a lecture on Bhagavad Gita for continuously about 15-20 days. Extempore lectures. One fine morning he comes out and says, from today you will have lectures on Ramayana. So it will be a month or so, lectures on Ramayana, lectures on Mahabharata, Bhagavata, and then sometimes Brahma Sutras. Very tough for us to understand. But that is how he went on and on, pouring out so much of wisdom, and said, better you focus on what I am speaking and try to understand. This is all necessary for you, because The higher purpose of human life is to sanctify yourself. That is the higher purpose. Ordinary purpose is just do a job, eke out your livelihood, have breakfast, have lunch, take dinner and sleep. That's a different story altogether. But that is not the purpose at all. And Swami, as he started the educational institutions, he emphasized and he declared to the world that there is a very important purpose behind starting these educational institutions here. The purpose for him was to impart two kinds of education. I spoke on two kinds of education here earlier also. I mentioned it to all the people here. And the two kinds of education Bhagavan Baba wanted us or wanted his institutions to impart to everybody described by him as the spiritual education and also the secular education, both. Today, unfortunately, Swami was very much pained. He expressed his agony on a number of occasions that the world is not bothered about spiritual education at all. We are not giving even a single bit of spiritual education to our children. We don't talk about spirituality to our children at all, starting from young age till they leave us. Neither to girls nor to boys. We don't teach spirituality at all. No spirituality. Completely spirituality is out of our system. We talk about only secular education all the time. All the time secular education. How many marks you got? What did you write? How did you write your test? Why did you get less marks? Why you did not get a gold medal? When are you going to get a gold medal? How many marks you got to physics, chemistry and... You talk about all this only, but you don't talk about human values at all. Did you ever speak or ask your children how good you are at practicing values? Do you respect elders? Do you respect your teachers? Do you respect your friends? Do you conduct yourself as a human being? No. What's happening is we are putting them deep into the material world and they are not conducting themselves as humans. Their mind is dominated by materialism. And materialism cannot make you a good human being. And Swami did not say that materialism is bad. No. Materialism is definitely good and necessary. It is very important. Bhagavan Baba's greatness and his democratic way of looking at life lies in that fact. He wants you to give people the knowledge that they should study, get good marks, get a good job, make money, and all that is definitely there. Just let them. But at the same time, spiritual education is also very, very important. If you don't give that, if you don't balance secular education with spiritual education, it is going to cause a lot of problems to individuals. You will become completely materialistic and you will have no respect for anybody. If today there is a situation where children do not respect their parents, he doesn't respect his father, he doesn't respect his mother, he doesn't respect his brothers, elder brothers, sisters, he doesn't respect his friends, he doesn't respect the society, why? Why they are like that? For the simple reason that we have failed in imparting spiritual knowledge to them since childhood. I would like to draw your attention to one incident which happened when I was a boy in my village. I was studying in my school, a higher secondary school in the village. And in that village, as I was going to school, the rule was you need to tell at home where you were going, and when you come back, the time is noted at what time you came back. If you go late, you have to explain why you were late. Not to just parents. There was an old man of about 70 years who used to sit with a long stick at a point where all the roads meet, a chaura, where four roads meet, and you have to go through that road if you want to go to the main road and go to a theater or buy things or something. And this old man of 70 years who was revered and respected by everybody in the village, including people who are 50 years running a family, they all respected him so much. And he was there to control each and every person in the entire village. He was almost like a headman of the village. One day as I was going, in the night around 7 o'clock or so, walking through the road, he stopped me and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I am going to watch a movie." Then he asked me, "Who gave you permission to go?" I said, "My father granted me permission." "Okay, let me verify," he said. "Bring your father." So I told my father to go over there and explain to that person, and my father went and told him, "Yes, I granted him permission to go to cinema." Then he immediately asked my father, "Why did you give permission to him to go to cinema alone?" Said, "He just wanted to go and watch film." "No, that is not allowed. Because in case he goes to cinema and misbehaves there, or somebody misbehaves with him, and it leads to a tussle or a problem, who is going to take care of it tomorrow?" And he told my father, not me, "Take your boy back home and don't permit him to go to cinema alone any point of time in future. If you want to go, you go with your father and mother and others. Better you be careful while behaving in the village. This village should stand up for all values. We have some values and we have to practice all the values." So sometimes I recall this incident and think how much we deteriorated today. There was a man who was not a member of my family but was there to control every family in the village, protecting values to be practiced by the entire village. We have fallen to such an extent today that our own children do not listen to us. They don't tell us, they don't report to us what they are doing. Why? Bhagavan Baba, I told you, he was pained on a number of occasions and in the veranda while interacting with all of us, and in public discourse also any number of times, made one point very, very, very clear. Let us register this point very clearly. He said, "Today children are bad, not because they are bad by themselves. They are bad because their parents are bad and teachers are bad." It used to hit us hard. And he said that it is the responsibility of the parents and the teachers. He was blaming the parents. "Why do you allow your children to do something which is not good? Stop them, correct them." And he also told teachers, "It is the responsibility of the teachers in the institutions to tell them that they should behave fine." So are we doing it? We are not doing it. In that context, Bhagavan Baba was talking to us and told us, every person in the society would love to talk about his rights. Today we are all demanding our rights in the society. "I have a right to this. I have a right to do that. I have a right to talk. I have so many people." He brought out a big list and said that you are all demanding your rights. In the society, in the state, in the family, "I have a right to do this. How can you stop me?" Swami said, "Yes, definitely you have a right to do that. You have a right to demand your rights, no doubt." But immediately Pat asked the question, "What about your duties? What about your duties? Did you ever think of your duties?" And Swami said, "I am not talking about the duties which are drafted and incorporated into your constitution. No. Much higher duties. The duties which are found in your books, according to Bhagavan Baba, are not duties at all. There is a higher duty." "What is that duty?" "That duty which is given to us by Vedas, Upanishads and Shastras, Itihasas. Primary duty, conduct yourself as a human being first. That is your duty. You are a human being. So Swami said, ask yourself whether you are behaving like a human being at all. Are you behaving like a human being? Or, yes, Swami himself said, you are only probably an akara manava, not an achara manava. Akara manava is, you are a human in form, but you are not an achara manava because you don't function like a human being. And then Swami said, you are much below animal level right now. You are in human forms, but you are all much, much, much below animal level. Your behavior is so shabby that you don't know what you are doing. You don't know what you are thinking. You don't know what you are watching. You don't know what you are eating. Everything was criticized by Swami. You are eating food which is not good for you. You are not supposed to eat it and you are eating. You are watching all kinds of things in the society which you are not supposed to watch. Because watching is going to make an impact on your mind and you will be attracted by all evil things in the society. You have to restrain yourself. Self-restraint. You have to restrain yourself. Don't think, Swami, one day he said, I can talk to you, I can give you lectures and all that, but do you think that I can change your mind? No. You have to listen and then you have to think over it. Nidhi, manana, dhyana. Contemplate on what I am talking. Go back, sit in your room and just meditate on what I am talking. For example, I tell you, see good things. Then when you are watching bad things, you should remind, Swami told me to see good things. I am watching bad things. Let me restrain. Swami told me to talk good. He wanted me to talk in a cultured manner to everybody in the world. Am I doing it? Am I screaming? Am I shouting? Why am I shouting? The other man is shouting. Doesn't mean you shout. No. Not allowed. Spirituality dictates very high standards. Bhagavan Baba followed the highest standard possible. Look at Ramayana. You will find Rama an embodiment of dharma. Dharma, highest standard. You will be surprised, you will be shocked. Swami gave us an example how this highest standard was set by a divine person himself. I'll give you one example which Swami gave. Sri Ramachandra, after the war got over, sent somebody to fetch Sita Mata. Bring her, he said. She was brought and placed before him. And Swami was sitting there, surrounded by none other than the most accomplished people in his camp. Vibhishana was there, Hanuma was there, Sugriva was there. So many scholars were there, warriors were there, learned people were all there. They were all joyous that mother is there in front of Swami. And they were looking at Swami, waiting what Swami was going to say. And suddenly Swami said something by which they were all utterly shaken, completely shaken. They did not expect it to come from Swami. They immediately said, how cruel you are, what nonsense you are talking. How could you speak something like this? They have almost collapsed, all of them. Swami said, I want you to prove your chastity. That was terrible. That was terrible means terrible. Everybody said, Swami, what are you talking? Are you out of your mind? How are you doing this? And Swami must have thought, this I am not doing for myself. I am doing this so that the entire universe tomorrow is not going to raise an accusing finger towards Sita Mata. This standard has got to be set. Not for him. Because there are people in the world who can talk rubbish, who can think bad. Don't give them an opportunity to talk nonsense. So I have to set a very high standard. Everybody was shocked. Vibhishana was shocked. Jambavan was shocked. Lakshmana was in tears. Everybody was broken completely. Swami doesn't change. Swami is very simple. He says, yes, this is the standard. Follow it. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, after finishing the round, used to pick up devotees for interview. All of them would go and sit in the veranda. And Swami was to take them into the interview room. And he first goes into the interview room, used to put all the letters on a small teepee there, places everything there. Then his practice was, he comes out, then asks the people picked up for interview to go in, one by one go inside. We were there in the veranda on some occasions when Baba looked at a woman and asked, may I know where your husband is? And then that lady would say, Swami, my husband didn't come. I am here and I am lucky you picked me up. And Swami would politely tell her, Amma, I am sorry, I cannot take you into the interview room. You go back. I will grant you an interview sometime later when you are here with your husband. After interviews are over, he would come out and tell us, I don't want to talk to a woman when her husband is not with her. Very high standards being set by Bhagavan. I don't want to give somebody an opportunity saying that I picked up a woman when her husband was not there to take her for interview. Who is going to suspect him actually? No. But still, why did he do it? Not for him. For us. So he was always trying to establish his commitment towards a wonderful duty. It's a duty that I am here to serve everybody without an iota of selfishness in me. No, I don't have any self-interest in this. I am doing this for the welfare of everybody in the society. And it was a dictum in ancient society that you do everything without expecting anything in return. That's the rule. If you are a human being, you are expected to do everything to the society without expecting anything in return. Whatever you get, okay, be happy with it. What is the problem? And Bhagavan Baba said, I know the problem. The problem with the modern society, according to Swami, is only one problem, that's all. We are all suffering from only one problem. The problem is no contentment. No contentment is the biggest disease. According to Swami, this is a very serious disease. You are all suffering from a very serious disease. Tell me, what is it that you don't have? You have good health, you have food, you have shelter, you have money, bank balance, property. No, you don't stop. Still you run after wealth. You are never contented. Why? That is a disease. As long as you are not contented with what you are having, you will not be able to perform your duty towards the society. On the other hand, there are people, any number of people in the world who never expected anything and they did it. And Swami said, there are examples whom you don't want to consider. For example, there was a Mahatma Gandhi, did not expect anything, went on working. There was a Vivekananda, he did not expect anything from you. Bhagavan Baba did not stretch his hand before anybody for anything. Ramana Maharshi did not ask. Shankaracharya did not ask. They went on doing their duty, went on and on and on without any respite. They did not take rest even for a single minute. On the other hand, we have a society where all the time we are relaxing and expecting. We are wasting our time from morning till evening. What is it that we are doing, actually speaking? Except roaming on the roads and watching things which are not to be watched. We are not doing anything. By the age of maybe 30s, Shankaracharya, what all he rendered, impossible. No human being can do it so much. Bhagavan Baba, his contribution to the entire world, so immense, it will take ages and ages and ages for people to record Why, you know, he insisted or he considered his duty towards humanity as more important than anything in the world. Only duty. Why is it that that idea, it doesn't occur to us? I have to do my duty all the time. Duty is more important. And the spiritual parlance in India, when we go ahead with Suprabhatam, Venkateshwar Suprabhatam, Satya Sai Suprabhatam, or any other Suprabhatam, what we say? Kartavyam Daivamahnikam. Kartavyam Daivamahnikam. Kartavyam. Kartavyam is duty. We always talk about only duty. In fact, the culture is that which wants you to talk about your duty towards fellow beings in the society. We conduct convocations and distribute degrees. We have MBAs, we have MBBS, doctors, we have engineers. So many degrees we are distributing. And you know, whenever you are given a degree, you are asked to take an oath. There is an oath which we religiously do in our university every year. In some universities they do occasionally. In most of the universities they don't do it at all. But the oath is compulsory. You have to take that oath after finishing your education. What is that oath? The oath that we prescribed is from a Upanishad here. Swami prescribed it. Swami said, this oath I want my students to take and let it be compulsory. Everybody should stand up and take that oath. That oath says, whatever knowledge I acquired till today, whatever knowledge I acquired, maybe medical knowledge, engineering skill, or in any other subject, whatever wisdom, whatever knowledge I acquired, today I am taking an oath that that knowledge, that wisdom will be utilized for the service of the society without expecting anything in return. That is the oath. A doctor takes an oath and says, I am going to be a doctor, I am going to treat the patients in the society all my life without respite. Suddenly some midnight somebody comes and knocks on your door and says that I am suffering from some pain. You cannot say get lost. You have no right to say that. Bhagavan Baba is very clear. You have no right. You have to go, get up, wear your dress, immediately attend to it. If you don't do it, you have committed the worst sin possible in the world. The worst sin. Because of you, some patient is suffering and he is undergoing pain. Having the knowledge, having all health at your command that you could go and still you did not do, you are responsible for the pain that he is undergoing. It amounts to the greatest sin that you ever committed. Somebody at midnight knocks on your door and says, I don't have food to eat, can you give me a loaf of bread? You ask him to get out, you don't know what sin you committed. When somebody knocks on your door and says, give me a glass of water, you turn him back. You don't know. We don't know, first of all, how duty is very precious in the world. Duty is the most precious thing which we should always invite on ourselves. Give me more work, give me more work, more work. That's what Bhagavan Baba taught us. We want more and more work. We don't want a holiday. Why? Kartavyam Daivamahnikam. Duty is God. Then Bhagavan Baba comes down and says, you know what kind of people demand rights? Bhagavan Baba talked about three kinds of people. One, Uttama Purushas. Uttama Purushas are those who give importance to others' work over their work. Others' work is given more importance than their personal work. I am going, I have to go to bank, draw some money. It is time now, otherwise the bank is going to be closed. I have to draw some money. Suddenly I find somebody on the road suffering from some problem, serious problem. He needs your attention. He needs your help. I won't go to bank. Pick up that person. Take him to the place wherever he is going to get relief immediately. Don't bother. you don't have money, you can draw money tomorrow. Otherwise, day after tomorrow. Doesn't matter. But this man requires your help on the spot right now. If you don't attend to that work, you are not bringing out your human quality. Swami always said, Paropakarardham yadam shariram. This body should be destroyed in the service of the society all the time. Be ready to serve and serve and serve. Only those who serve sanctify their lives. Who get served? For everything we depend on others. Call somebody and ask him to do all your work all the time, all your life. We don't know we are committing indirectly without our knowledge a great sin. We are asking them to do work. So that's not the right way of looking at things. The right way of looking at, let me do. That is the way in ashram, when I came in 79, I barged into the accommodation office in 1980. By that time I was here for 1 year, I was new to this place, I did not know rules and regulations much. And Swami established ashram by that time with perfect rules and regulations. I still remember there was an accommodation officer by name Bakra, who was an Air Force officer. He was enjoying a very big position in Air Force. After his retirement, he came and settled in Puttaparthi, and Swami said, work in the accommodation office. Whatever work was given to them, they were ready to undertake that work. They never demanded a particular kind of work. Any work you are given. Because it is Bhagavan's command. Bhagavan gives you work and he knows why you is giving that work. And he knows whether he is giving that work that you accept it, that you like it and you do it, or you are going to learn out of that work something. You never know. You can never understand the mind of Swami. You can never understand the mind of Rama or Krishna. Why they are doing, you will never understand. Because their idea is always to set highest standard possible in the world. Highest standard. You come up to my expectations, you are there. You don't come up to my expectations, you are out. And whether you are in or out, it doesn't make any difference to me. The difference makes only to you. How does it matter to me whether you are in or out? I am giving you an opportunity, that's all. If you think that, yes, this is good for me, continue and continue, it is good for you. You leave, okay, it is harmful to you. You are actually betraying yourself, not Bhagavan. Bhagavan always said, don't tell me that you are doing my seva. I don't want your seva. I don't want, in which way your seva is going to give any credit to me. I don't want anything from in this world. I know I am above everything in this world. When I am giving you an opportunity to serve, what I am giving, you know, I am giving you an opportunity to sanctify your life. When you do seva, you accrue merit to yourself. You get merit to yourself. There are so many people in ashram who are doing voluntary service today. In so many places. What are they expecting? They are not expecting anything. They don't get salaries, anything. They are all retired. They came here and they pray. They pray to Swami in the heart of heart, sit near Samadhi and pray, Swami, give me an opportunity to serve, please. We don't give them anything in return. We give them a chance to serve, sit there in the office. And they go on doing Swami's work in a most dedicated manner, devoted manner, enjoying that work. Swami, grateful to you. I cannot express my gratitude to you in words. You have given me an opportunity to serve your lotus feet. When are we going to raise to that level as to understand the significance of duty? So the first kind of persons are Uttama Purushas, where others' work is more important to them than their own work. There are Madhyamas. Madhyamas are those who take care of their work and also take care of others' work. They manage both, somehow or other. They are not ready to sacrifice their work. They give importance to that. Okay, I'll go to bank, draw money and come back. And if you are there, I'll take you to hospital also. Don't worry. So you try to combine both. Try to strike a balance between two. But you are not at ripened to such an extent as to sacrifice your work for the work of somebody else. That difference is there. So Uttama and Madhyama. then there are adhamas. Bhagavan Baba was critical of this community always. Adhamas are there who are completely self-centered. They don't bother about anybody in the society except their own work. I want to take care of myself come what may. Even if his own family members are suffering, he doesn't bother. Just like many villagers do today in India. A woman worker and her husband, both of them go to work. In morning they go. Physical labor in the fields under scorching sun. They work from morning till evening. And we give 100 rupees to woman, maybe 150 or so to the man. And by evening he comes back, she also comes back. While coming back home, the lady picks up the provisions to cook something. Every day they have to buy. It's not like in our homes where you have stock for 1 month, 2 months. No. Go to the villages, you will see. You will be surprised and shocked to see. On the way, while returning, they have to buy the provisions for that day. 100 grams mirchi, 10 grams adrak, half a kilo rice. For that day only she will be able to buy something. And they cannot choose their food as you choose your food. Millions and millions of people are like that. And then she comes home with that money and with provisions to cook food for her husband and children. And there comes the husband who already utilized his wage for drinking. Left and right hammers his wife, snatches away that money, takes it away and drinks. No respect for wife. On the other side, it is cruelty towards wife and cruelty towards children. Where are you discharging your responsibility, your duty towards your family? You are an adhama. You are below human level. Why do you live? And Bhagavan Baba said, such characters, though they are alive, they are as good as dead. Jivan Murtaha. Jivan Murtaha is one who appears to be alive, but in spirit he is as good as dead. So these are the three categories of human beings, and Swami wanted us to be at a level which is beyond these three. Swami was not happy if you become a Uttama. Swami told us, my expectation is something different. Swami, Uttama is okay. We give importance to others' work than my work. No. I want you to be Ati Uttama. Ati Uttama is one who doesn't care about his work at all completely. He completely spends all his time in the service of the society only, all the time. If I get something, I'll eat. If I don't get, I'll go to bed. No problem. Ati Uttama. These are all people who lived and served the society without expecting anything completely. God will give me something. He takes care of me. As long as I am in soul, in body, in my spirit, dedicating myself to the society, God will take care of me. And Swami comes out with a wonderful instance. And from Ramayana again, he says, Rama went to the forest. Why did he go? The purpose for him was establishment of dharma. Dharma. To establish dharma in the society, he went to forest. That was his main purpose. Establish dharma. All the unrighteous characters to be eliminated and the righteousness to be established in the society. He went. And in Ramayana, there are series of instances where Valmiki Maharshi tries to explain to us that if your purpose in your mind is righteous, the entire nature will stand in front of you to extend support in varied manners, in varied methods. One, when Sita Mata was abducted in the absence of Sri Ramachandra, Rama and Lakshmana were not there, and Ravana appeared and took away Sita. And there Valmiki Maharshi explains, I believe for some time, immediately after Ravana abducted Sita, wind stopped blowing. It did not blow. the leaves which were fluttering on the trees stopped fluttering. The deers which were around grazing stopped grazing. The whole nature came to a standstill immediately. Why? The nature responded to something which is calamitous. The nature itself was shocked and stopped for a few minutes and then came back to normal. Nature responds. A bird tries to protect Sita Mata, knowing that it is incapable, and it was ready to sacrifice its life in the process. A bird goes to protect. When Swami wanted to build a bridge across ocean, the Lord of the ocean comes out and says, Swami, go ahead. Nature comes to your rescue. When Swami wanted to fight the war with Ravana, the celestial beings send a wonderful chariot down. Swami, take this. They give astras, astras. Agastya comes and blesses Swami and says, victory is yours. He did not call them. Everything was responding to itself. And in the present incarnation, Bhagavan Baba, when he started the water project, I want to give water to Anantapur district, all the villages. It is not given for 500, 600 years. Never anybody ventured into that project at all. They know how tough it is to give water to people in Anantapur district, to all the villagers. One day Swami came out with an announcement when the former Prime Minister, late Prime Minister P.V. Narasimha Rao was here on that day. He was Prime Minister of India who came to Parthi. And in the Purnachandra auditorium, there was a huge gathering. Swami was going to address and P.V. Narasimha Rao was seated by his side. And Swami said, it is my sankalpa, I want to give water to all the villages, 750 villages, more than 15 to 20 towns. So many people, I am going to give water, establishment of dharma. What does he get by giving water to all these villages? He doesn't get anything. But establishing dharma, you will be quenching the thirst of millions and millions and millions of people who were suffering for a glass of water. They were walking miles and miles and miles for a glass of water. And Swami said, they won't suffer. Water need to flow to their doorstep. It should come to their doorstep. Every villager will collect from the doorstep itself. Purified, safe drinking water to be given to all these people is my vrata. This is my diksha. I am going to give them. Next day somebody came and said, Swami, you simply promised them it is going to cost us crores and crores of rupees. Crores and crores and crores. Where from we are going to get the money? And here he says, dharma samsthapana ardhaya. In order to establish dharma, I declared it. From tomorrow, you will see money flowing, raining into the trust account. And it went on raining and raining and raining. So much money in the form of contributions from so many people, so many sections, from so many corners of the world. It went on pouring and pouring. And within 1 year, he said, I'll do it. And he did it. It is successfully completed and running very successfully. Dharma samsar. My idea is to establish dharma and the nature responds. It enters people's minds and it will bring here everything. It is your duty to serve the society, and if you are committed to your duty, God will stand by your side and see to it that your duty is fulfilled. Now Bhagavan Baba always said, we need to give more importance only to duties. Concentrate on your duty to everybody. As a teacher, it is your duty to teach all the time. As long as your breath lasts, go on teaching from morning till evening. What we do, are we really in a committed manner teaching at all? If you are making a farce of teaching, if you are making a farce of medical practice, simply treating people. Today people don't want to go to hospitals. They are scared actually. They are scared to go to hospitals because a super speciality hospital outside in the world, it is a big menace. Such films are produced, such a talk is going on in the society that even after the doctors know that the man is going to die surely, put him in the ICU, charge lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of rupees, don't tell the patient what medicine you are giving, simply prescribe medicine, and the pharmacy shop is hospital's shop, you ask them to buy only from our pharmacy, take the medicine to the ICU, I don't know whether it is given to the patient or not, bring it back to the pharmacy, back door, sell it. What is it that you are doing? Whom are you deceiving? Swami said, when you scold somebody, better you realize that you are not scolding somebody else, you are scolding yourself, because the same Atma is there in the other body also. Parulu parulu kadaya paramatma gani. Others are not others, they are paramatmas. You harm somebody, you insult somebody, you really criticize somebody. Better you realize that you are doing it to yourself. There is an old person at home, with all love you need to take care. Your father or mother or grandmother, with all love you are supposed to take care. Your patience is running out, you are not able to serve, you grudge, you scold, you do that, you do this. You are doing to yourself. You will also be bedridden one day. All this will come back to you. When your father, when your mother, when your grandfather, somebody is in the sick bed, don't terminate them to the old age homes. Swami is against that philosophy. No question of old age homes. In this country where Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava, the whole society is considered as the incarnation of Mahavishnu, where this culture is invading us, of no concern at all for others, where is actually the fault line? The fault line is, there is only one thing, that is, we have completely forgotten our duties. Giving importance to duty is forgotten. Swami is here to explain. Whenever we ask Swami, Swami, you have done a great favor to us. You performed Upanayanam for our children. Swami, you performed my son's marriage. Swami, you blessed me. You cured my disease. Believe me or not, hundreds of times I heard one word from Swami's mouth. I am just doing my duty. That's enough, I think. That's more than enough for us to understand what Bhagavan Baba stood for. Always he said, I am doing my duty, you do your duty. He came all the way to college. A number of occasions, he called us teachers, he made them sit in front of him, and he told us, you know what I want you to do? I want you to teach all these children, considering all of them as your own children. With all love, teach them. Don't think that you are a teacher, you are given a job, so go there, talk something, you say that your job is over, you get your monthly salary. No. Don't have your mind on your monthly salary at all. You have your mind on the children here. And in order to probably make it more serious, though it was like a plea that was coming from God, where he was always there to command, he told us, you know why all the children are here in this college, in a poor village? They are all from Delhi, Bombay, Madras and all the other places where wonderful educational institutions are available. Still their parents want them to be here. You know why? Because they love me. They want all their children to be here, so that I give them the best education. As I told, secular and spiritual education they get, they become good human beings. That's what the parents want. And once they admit them here in my college, they go back and sleep comfortably in their beds, not to be worried at all. They are safe because they are under my guidance. And that safety which they feel, that confidence which the parents feel, the trust that they have in me, I am transferring all that onto your shoulders today. I want you to fulfill their desires, which they have with me, to be fulfilled through you. You are my instruments. I am transferring that faith to all of you. Will you kindly do that for me? Was the plea from Bhagavan Baba to us. Will you kindly do it? Bhagavan could have commanded. But then it is for us to understand, teachers, it's not a request from Swami. He was reminding us of our duty to sanctify our lives. He was giving an opportunity. And Swami said, when from mandir to college, when you walk on the road, anybody who sees you, they bend down and say, Sairam, 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 they say to all of you, my teachers. You know why? Not because you are all lecturers, professors and readers. Never forget that. No, definitely not. Because you are associated with me. You are working in my college. So many people respect you. So many people revere you, love you. It is because of me. It is because you are in touch with me. You know why? They consider you all as my reflections. That is the reason why they love you, respect you. And let me remind you, he said, moon does not shine by itself. The light of the sun falls on the moon and the moon shines. You are all like moon. The light of the sun, Bhagavan Satya Sai Baba, falls on you and you shine. By discharging your responsibilities perfectly, you will become deserving of my grace. Do that. And finally, he said one thing. You talk about rights and rights and rights and rights all the time. Never think of duties. Do you know one subtle, beautiful import of this whole philosophy of rights and duties? According to him, the spirit of the philosophy of rights and duties is, you will be deserving of your rights only when you fulfill all your duties perfectly. You don't perform your duties, but you demand your rights. You don't deserve it actually. Take an example. In the village, so many Sevadal people work. There are rich people, middle class people, poor people, farmers sometimes who work in the fields, they are also given scarves. So they also come and serve. Because farmers are physically stronger, some of them, they are so much devoted to Swami, on a service day, they come exactly at 8:39. They go on serving with all devotion, without gulping even a gulp of water, sip of water, not eating sometimes. He wants to do seva, 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 seva. He's so committed. There are many like that in Sevadal. So many people are there in Sevadal. Seva is more important to them than anything else. Coming from poor community, from the lowest society, strata of the society, they. Now you see, when the Seva organization president or secretary, he calls for Seva, he calls exactly those people who are devoted, who are dedicated and who serve, not those people who pretend to be serving. You are having a scarf, but you pretend. It's a drama. Swami said, don't think that I don't know your drama. Because I am the director of the drama. I direct this entire drama. I know how committed you are to me. You can play drama, but you will have to face the consequences for that later. A poor man coming in 24 hours, I know, because I went to see a Sai center in a town long, long ago. And outside there was a Sevadal person who always wanted to arrange the chapels of the devotees. The devotees going inside the bhajan hall, they leave the chapels there and he arranges all the chapels. And somebody said, sir, I will do this job. No, I want to do this job. Please, let me do this. Why? It gives me great joy to arrange the chapels of devotees. Maybe some of us are not ready to do it, but he always wanted it. And wherever I went, I found that man being most respected than many other men who were serving inside bhajan hall or taking up other responsibilities, this man will be revered and respected by everybody because he was there to do a job which others were not ready to do. That is duty. All through the years, from 79 onwards, as long as Swami was here in physical form, every year, birthday celebrations, Dasara celebrations, and so many other celebrations, 50th birthday, 55th birthday, 60th birthday, 65th birthday, lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of people thronged this place. I found something miraculous happening in Puttaparthi, something miraculous. And that had a tremendous impact on my mind, how Swami organized it, how Swami did it. Sevadals coming from different states in India are given different kinds of responsibilities here because there is so much work to be done. But the devotees from Orissa, always wanted one kind of service and they told Swami, Swami, we pray to you, kindly give only this service to us, not other service. Always, for decades and decades and decades, they are known for that. What was that, you know? The duty always they wanted was to clean the toilets in Prashanta Nilayam. This you kindly give only to us. They were asked to erect toilets because lakhs of people come, temporary toilets to be erected. So they come 1 month in advance. 1 month in advance. They come here, they get all their things to erect temporary toilets, pipelines, everything will be arranged, cleanliness. The entire Orissa state Seva Dal will be after that work, day in and day out, cleaning everything. Anytime you go there, it looks perfectly clean. They are already waiting to clean it up. All toilets. If there is a blockage, they don't mind getting into it. They always demanded that seva from Swami. Swami, this seva only we want. Where are we? What kind of service we want? What kind of service is demanded by them? With what kind of devotion to Swami? They are all simple, ordinary, normal people. And Swami has got so much of love for the state president. And he used to send a message after the festival got over to all Orissa people saying, ask them to stay back for 4 or 5 days in Parthi, in Puttaparthi ashram. So they stay back for 4 or 5 days. And all crowds clear out. And Swami sends a message. Today, ask all the Sevadal from Orissa to sit separately in Mandir for Pad Namaskar and all the other kinds of gifts, whatever I would love to give. So, they used to wait there in lines. Swami would go personally distribute to all the thousands of people personally. It takes more than 3-4 hours for Swami to walk through the lines. Swami used to walk, give them vibhuti, give them photos, give them clothes, give them sweets, flood them with rewards and rewards and rewards. Why? They love to perform a duty. The dedication to perform a duty. Swami always told us, love your duty more than yourself. Your duty you should love more than yourself. I don't love me. I love my duty more important. My duty is more important to me. And Swami wanted that culture to be cultivated by all of us where we give more and more importance to duties because a well done duty automatically will make you deserving of your rights. But the beauty is you will get so much addicted to your duty, even if you become deserving of your right, you will not demand your right. What a beautiful philosophy it is. I don't want rights. I don't want. Give me more duties. Why? I don't want. What do I do with my rights? I don't have any rights in fact. In this world, I have only one duty. To please the world as long as I exist here. To serve this world as long as I have this body. To pray for the welfare of this world. These are all my duties. In fact, Bhagavan Baba said, these will get converted, which you consider as duties, as your own rights after some time. When somebody comes and asks you, what right do you want? Give me the right to serve. Give me the right to pray. Give me the right to suffer. Give me the right to sacrifice. Give me the right to work in such a way that I see smiles on the faces of everybody when they come in contact with me. That should be my right, to see pleasantness on the faces of everybody when I am face to face with them. These are the kinds of rights you demand, not the kind of rights where you are going to exploit others. So there is a beautiful philosophy, and Bhagavan Baba did it. And when people really did their job so good, performed their duties, sometimes God goes to the extent of saying, you did your job so beautifully, let me express my gratitude to you. God expresses his gratitude to you for doing your job. One Central Trust member got heart attack in Bangalore. That day Swami was in Mandir. He was in his interview room. After interviews got over, after bhajans got over, Swami retired. And suddenly we came to know Swami is emerging out. So we all rushed. He emerged. Suddenly he came out of the interview room. He ordered the car to be fetched. There was his car. He was in a great mood to just move out. He came out, didn't talk to anybody, didn't say anything. Just got into the car and said, go. I said, where is he going? All of a sudden. Because we used to get an inkling of his departure from Parthi at least 2-3 days before, whenever he went to Vrindavan or any other place. That day, but he came out and he just rushed out. Where did he go? We don't know. After an hour or so, suddenly we came to know that Swami was going to Bangalore. Why? Suddenly, why he was going? And then we came to know that he just straight went to the hospital in which the Central Trust member was admitted to because of a heart attack. Straight went there. He saw that man. Materialized Vibhuti gave him and said, I am with you, don't worry. He even did not know that Swami was going there. And when he says, Sir, Swami, you are shocked. Swami, you are... How can I be not here? When you served me with so much faith and love, I am here to express my gratitude to you. When a devotee got operated in Puttaparthi Super Speciality Hospital, a great devotee, Swami sat outside the ICU, operation theater, all the time when the operation was going on, just sat there in a chair and watching. And when he was brought out of the operation theater, he came, he went, and he talked to him and said, I am here to express my gratitude. When we don't express gratitude to our own relations and friends and our own parents and friends around, where are we when we look at all these things happening around us, which all happened here? He said, it is my duty to express my gratitude. It is my duty. Sri Ramachandra did it. He expressed his gratitude to all the people who fought the war for him at the time of his coronation. And he called Hanuma. There he utters the most beautiful thing and says, what can I give you? I can give you nothing. Because you did serve me so much. All the power at my command, all the power is not sufficient for me to express my gratitude to you by giving anything. So what he did, just hugged him. This is the only thing I can give you. And Hanuman said, what more do I expect than this? God hugging me. That is the power of performing one's duty perfectly, wholeheartedly, all the time, all your life, every minute. Let us aspire. Let us pray to Bhagavan Baba to give us the sense that we focus only on duties. And we never talk of rights in our lives at all, which are not there. Really speaking, spiritually speaking, there are no rights to anybody in the world. You have come by the grace of somebody, and one day he is going to withdraw his grace. In between, all the time we are here, Bhagavan kindly bless us and give us the sense to perform our duties towards parents, towards mother, towards brothers, towards sisters, towards society, towards everybody, towards the entire nature, let me perform my duties wholeheartedly. Kindly bless us all. Thank you very much for your patient listening. I express my gratitude to Bhagavan Baba Varu for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share a few of my thoughts on this very interesting topic. Jai Sai Ram.
Jai Jai Vighna Vinashaka Jai 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 Gananayaka Jai Jai Vighna Vinashaka Jai Shubha Mangala Dayaka Vidya Budhi Pradayaka Jai Shubha Mangala Maheshwar Shiva Shankara Shiva Mahadeva Gurudev. Shivaya. Shiva, 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 Sada Shiva. Om Namo